Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2025 AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, 80 golfers, no cut, elevated event, two courses. We'll get to all that and more, but before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. California cold out here. I always feel bad saying that's cold because I watch the rest of the world, but it's cold for us out here. But doing well.
Yeah, it's cold here, so go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's why I try not to say too much more past that because I know I'm barking up the wrong tree on that one.
Yeah.
But let's talk golf for a second here before we get into the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. We had the Farmers ended on Saturday. And oh boy, did things shift on Friday, Jesse. I was actually, what was going on? That would have been Thursday, actually. Thursday, I was doing something, so I couldn't like watch much. I just kept checking my phone. And I see the North Course +3, +4, all these guys like just imploding. And then I get a message, it's the wind and the course and all this. So be damned if you planned accordingly. You got screwed on that one. Any thoughts on Farmers in general, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much. The, you know, I had a pretty decent lineup after the first day, Wednesday.
You and me both. And, I was sitting pretty,
Yeah, and then I was kind of checking in on it, like, what is going on here? And then finally saw the news about the wind. Because I didn't watch any of it, but saw that the wind picked up drastically and balls were not able to stay on the greens, and they still made them play in it up to a certain point, and then they finally – you know, stop play. And then there was a shit ton of WDs. Just classic PGA Tour cluster.
Yeah. It's one of those I laughed at. I'm like, okay, you got two courses and they kept starting out closer to 9 o'clock every day. And I'm like, I live out here. They could have teed off at like 7 a.m.
Right.
Just throwing that out there. Yeah. Like it's still not like light early, but you could have probably pulled off a 7 a.m. got the ball rolling on that.
Right.
Maybe told the amateur, or there was no amateurs. That's the wrong event. Sorry. We had one event without it, but still two courses. but they were claiming like it was a win that they never get on that course, which, okay, cool. That's fair. But yeah, it stung because I did my 20 max and I was sitting pretty happy after that first day because I had a lot of South Course guys that did well. And I'm like, okay, we're ahead of the North Course. Yeah. Right. I ended up with 1 6 of 6, 6 5 of 6s, and a whole lot of mess after that. So,
yeah, it wasn't. I mean, it was the scores were drastically lower than what they had been because they usually get up to the mid teens and 8 under wins it. Harris English there. But again, I mean, like, not a whole lot of, I mean, because Obert was there for a little while and kind of fell off. Just not a lot of star power once again. Thankfully, we will get that more so this week. And we got it last night.
Yes, yes. So let's hit on that. TGL, I missed it. I was watching my daughter, so I was not tuned into the TV. She likes golf. She hasn't fully figured out the simulator thing. The one gripe I'm going to have before I let you wax poetic, because I heard it was very, very good last night, is I know they're trying to find their sweet spot. At what time did it start? Did it start at 6:30 Eastern this time?
6:30.
That they need a consistent, this is like an NFL kickoff. This is what we're doing on Monday night.
Sure.
Because I would have tuned in for some. I could have watched it from 3:30 to like 4:15. I didn't know it was freaking on. I had no idea.
So yeah.
That's my biggest gripe.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I didn't, to be honest with you, know it was going to start that early either until I went in and turned my TV on and just basically was told by my television that it's like, cause I just happened to turn it on at 6:30 and it was like, this is getting ready to start. I'm like, oh, because I figured it would start at like 7, but then they had a basketball game. Duke played NC State, which was supposed to start at 8:30, and they were late starting that because of the delay in the broadcast, which – fitting all that into 2 hours because there's a huge lead up to it too. It's not like they just start playing golf at 6:30. You know, there's a 20-minute probably like introduction and blah 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 blah, which I think they could cut down a little bit, but ESPN's trying to hype it as best they can. and still like the golf isn't that good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tom Kim was electric. Tom Kim was,
he's got that personality. I could see
he
that.
Was the star of the show. He played the best golf. He made some really significant putts. And you could just tell that the energy was there with him. Unlike some other people who have been on it. And I'm not saying that like the other guys last night didn't have that, but his personality fits very well for that format of match play. But also just being on TV in general, because, you know, you could just tell he like was really pumped to be there and deal with it. Kisner played better.
Couldn't be much worse. That's good. I did see a tweet of his where he said, looks like Max Homa is the weak link now or something, which is
funny. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't see that, but he played better. He's still like, it's still wild to me. Some of the bad shots that they hit, it has to be the technology and or the like surface they're hitting off of. Yeah. 'Cause he did mention like, I've been hitting all these balls fat off the like real turf, which that turf to me doesn't look right. It looks too long, but also when they hit shots, it just doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
But either way, it was deep, by far and away the best match we've had so far, which I'm glad we got with Rory and Tiger.
They had to.
Included in that. Ended with a basically what amounts to a chip off, but it was really kind of a pitch off or whatever, which is a pretty cool little format, which is head to head, closest to the hole, best out of three, which didn't know that was going to happen. So, yeah, and we had the first shot clock violation.
I saw on Tiger. I saw it. This is where, you know, as much as I give, you know, Twitter a hard time, it did come through when I needed, because, again, my other gripe, I told you before the show, I can't find a replay without having ESPN Plus now.
Yeah.
That's rough. So apparently I got to set my DVR, which is fine. Not complaining. Just figured ESPN, you know, when we grew up, you could watch muscle built lifting every day. Like you can't throw TGL on, especially right. when you have especially with one like this, you think you'd find a spot for it.
Yeah. 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 So, whether it's ESPN, whatever.
Yeah. Give me the Ocho. I don't care. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah. I'm with you. But yeah, by far and away the best match so far. There's still a lot of kinks to work out, in my opinion. You know, I was texting with some of my buddies last night, and one of them was like, I'm turning this shit off. This is dumb. So I think it was the first time he tuned in, but I kept watching it all. I had basketball on other TV too. So, you know, for me, it's very fast paced too. I mean, and that's one of the good things about it is it's like, there's no like drawing stuff out. They got the shot clock. And then also they're just going from hole to hole, like, and not big time commercial interruption. So it's by far, if like you want to watch the most golf, you're going to watch the most golf in that 2 hours that it's on. But you know, there's still some issues and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, I'm glad it went well. We need more Tom Kim in our like players like that. I got Tom Kim and a JT will probably be fun.
Yeah.
Like Sahith had a little bit of vibe to him. It's like they need more of that. Obviously you can't be throwing Cantlay out there all the time. That's never going to work.
But I thought Rose was good the last time too, but
Rosie's always been a little snarky, so I can respect that. Like I've got to kind of be close to him at Pebble a lot, and it's not on camera, but he chirps. Let's just put it that way.
I can see it.
So he's fun in that regard, but that's what you get from a lot of Euro guys. Honestly, they like to talk. That's just they'll talk trash, and that's just normal nomenclature to them over there. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm glad it worked out. I'll have to watch it, and hopefully, we can get some more like synchronicity to what is going on with the product,
right?
Because I do want it to succeed. I'm glad that they're thinking about building more venues like we talked about last week. Glad they're thinking about putting Live into it. I think that'll add a whole nother level. Like anytime you can put Bryson on the TV, it'll be awesome. So
for sure.
Yeah, that's good. It went off. They needed to with those two heavy hitters on there for sure.
For sure.
All right. Enough of that. Let's talk Pebble Beach Pro-Am. This year we have the second year now in a row of the elevated event, changed last year. So now no Monterey Peninsula Golf Course, which is a shame because you could throw like 12 unders out there and really shake it up. But now you got Spyglass, Pebble on Thursday and Friday, and then Pebble for Saturday and Sunday. 80 golfers, no cuts. What do you got for some past event history, which is obviously kind of skewed in this sense?
Yeah, it went to the elevated event just last year for the first time, correct?
Yes, correct.
First was 20 million last year. It's 20 million again this year. 3.6 million to the winner. Before that, it was like 9 million was the
big
biggest.
Big for the one and done's, folks. Big.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Wyndham Clark won last year, 17 under one shot over Aubert.
And 54 holes.
Was that 54 holes last year?
Yeah, because of the the atmospheric river coming through. They had to stop the No Sunday Run.
And he still was got the 1700.
He still got to cash the almost $4 million.
Yeah, 3.6. Yeah,
yeah. Rough day.
Rough day. Justin Rose was the 2023 champion, 1800 three shots over Brendan Todd and Brandon Wu. 2022 was Tom Hoge, 1900 two shots over Spieth. 2021 was Daniel Berger, 1800 two shots over McNealy. Nick Taylor was the champion in 2020. Jordan Spieth has won this in the past. Brent Snedeker's won it a couple times. DJ won it a couple times whenever he was playing on tour. Phil won it five times. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of an odd bunch of winners, because you have Ted Potter Jr. Yeah. Then Mickelson.
Yep.
And then a few years with Hoge, Berger, Taylor, and then Justin Rose.
And you got to remember, Hoge and Taylor, they were kind of not where they are now, guys. They were longer shots then.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. 2020, Nick Taylor was not a favorite by any means, and neither was Hoge in 2022. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it.
For someone that's been to this tournament many times, it's the reason I think you get that skewed nature, because it's usually just DJ, Phil, Spieth, maybe a couple others. And then it was just a whole slew of dudes trying to get FedEx points and that were willing to play with CEOs, basically. Jason Day comes a lot. He's a popular one also. Now with obviously the elevated events, the only year that there was a ton of big dogs there was the year the US Open was their last thing. It was 2021 or 2019, something like that, somewhere in there. That was the last time, that was the first time Rory played in that tournament, so on and so forth. A lot of guys don't like the format. This year it's different. The amateurs only play Thursday, Friday, so they're not even there on the weekends. So that's a big plus as well for people that don't like the amateur side of things. If you're looking at courses here, I'm not going to give you the full scope of things, but you get Pebble for 3 days. You get Spyglass for one. Pebble, if you don't know Pebble by now, you're listening to the show. You must be lost, apparently. It's a par 72. It's less than 7,000 yards. It's a short course. Really not overly challenging. I've had a lot of friends play it, and it's it's beautiful. It's the history. The greens are great. The greens are super small. They call them postage stamp greens. They're POA. You'll hear that a million times. The joke is there's only one water hazard on the course. It's the Pacific Ocean. But for the most part, it's the par threes are super challenging because of the small greens and the distances outside of seven, which is right on the coast there, which everyone knows that iconic hole. The par fours, most of them range between they average 415. So they're not super long. Again, not a 7,000-yard course, still par 72. The par fives, you can attack, and you have to attack. The par 5-6, where you go up the hill, it's kind of a blind shot, is an awesome hole. There's the back, the eight closing 18s, one of them. There's a few others in the middle there. The gist of it is, and the rough won't be that bad. It just comes down to weather. If the weather's not there, this is a wedge fest. That's the bottom liner. You can bomb it and wedge it. If the weather gets there, it's a little more, you got to be appropriate with the shots. That's where it comes. Spyglass is a little longer, still nothing crazy by any means. It's 7,041 yards. So yeah, not much longer there, but there's more tree lined in there. So what I'm going to tell you, and the weather keeps changing, and this is the one tournament I can help you with, because it's right down the road. So I can give you ups on this. It looks like it's going to be Thursday's going to be beautiful so far. Thursday looks great. Friday should be good, but there's chances of stuff coming in the afternoon. Saturday and Sunday were supposed to be rain. That has moved to Monday, Tuesday for now, but that doesn't mean it can't come back. Doesn't also mean that it won't be windy and overcast. So the weekend could get nasty. That could get fun. Not much you can do about that in builds unless you want to build accordingly for the weekend and hope. Bottom line is Thursday should be great. Friday, the storms kind of begin. And if we get any rain, it'll be late Friday, it looks like, for now. And Saturday, Sunday's off for now. Could change. But the weekend could be interesting. It shouldn't be enough rain to cause chaos like last year by any means. But it could make for some windiness where we start talking like the Bo Hostler, Shane Lowry's of the world being interesting. Where, if it was all of every game was like this Thursday, you just put Scottie Scheffler probably in your lineup and rock and roll. So, and he plays great in the wind anyway. So what do I care? It's just, do you trust him coming back? All right. With all that being said, I was very, very long-winded. I didn't really talk much about the courses, but what kind of stats are you looking at there?
I think par five scoring matters this week. Accuracy off the tee, birdie or better, it's it can be, like you said, very easy. I mean, 17 under through 3 days last year. Just depending on the weather, but most of the time it's, you know, I think Jordan Spieth said it was like a dart throwing putting contest. So
yeah, if the weather's fine, it's literally like 100 to maybe 150 max wedge shot.
It's a classic coastal place. Like, you can't make it too hard, because if it's windy, it's unplayable. Yep. So just one of those things. You just got to watch the weather and mind that.
That's why everyone was so pissed when, like, the Open Championship, the weather was beautiful, and Woodland shot like 19 under or something. And trust me, they grew the rough up. They made it tough, but without the weather, it doesn't matter. It's easy. All right, let's get to it. DK time. We have three golfers over $10,000. You got Scottie Scheffler at 11-9, making his first start of the year. Rory McIlroy, 10-7. Colin Morikawa, 10-2. Before I let you go on this one, Jesse, Shane Lowry posted that he got to check a bucket list item off on, I believe it was Tuesday morning or Monday afternoon. He played Cyprus. A lot of the boys played Cyprus, which I don't even have the opportunity to play Cyprus, and I know a lot of people out here. They obviously do, because they're pros. But Lowry, he shot 9 under, had 10 birdies, so 64. He said Scotty was in the group behind him, birdied the first 6 holes. And he's all, I stopped paying attention after that. So that's all I'm going to say there. Who would you like in the 10K range?
Yeah, Cyprus is one of the most exclusive golf courses in the world, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, it's like up there with Augusta as far as the... Yeah.
There's a guy that I know that plays in the Pro-Am, and I golf with him down here. He's very, very wealthy and but a down-to-earth guy is what I'll play. I think he's played Cyprus probably less than 5 times in his life, and he knows everybody up there. Like, he's best friends with Clint Eastwood, and he still can't get on. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all three of them are very viable. Scottie Scheffler, you don't know what it's like coming off the injury, but it's not like it's a muscle injury or like knee injury or something like that. It's just basically cut his hand. I'm sure he's fine. He's going to be popular. I'm showing 40% at this moment. But Rory, I think it is playable. He's okay. 66th his last time out, which was last year at this event, which is almost DFL on an 80-man field. Did finish 9th here in 2019. Coming off a win at the DP World Tour Championship. And it's, you know, he's been playing very well. He played really well in that match a couple months ago. I guess it was a month or two ago now. Mm-hmm. Against Bryson. And so I think his game is good. And then my model loves Colin Morikawa for some reason. I mean, he's like way rated above anybody else here. 14th and 35th in his last two starts at this event. And played the Tournament Champions of the Century. Second place there. Won the Tour Championship back in September. So, yeah, I mean, pick your poison. I think Rory and Colin will be significantly less owned than Scotty will be. But
yeah, I have like on Fantasy National, it's interesting. Like, Scotty's favorited 43% of the time. They're projecting him to be about 15% owned. They 15? Have, yeah, so I don't know how they calculate all that. I don't know. But if 43% of the people are favoriting him, they're probably going to put him into at least 25% of them, I'd say, if not more.
Yeah.
Like, because they have Colin projected for 20%.
That's right. Where I'm sitting too.
He's 61% favorited on Fantasy National. People are in love with him. One thing is, Mayo's talked about him a ton. But he rates 4th in my model. I think it comes down to, if your model focuses on approach, Colin always rates out great in approach.
Yeah.
That's just the facts of the matter. And he can't putt. Yep, he's 50. Or he's over the last 24 rounds, he's 14th in this field. But again, a lot of these guys don't have, you know, up-to-date stats. The thing with Colin that gets me is, like you mentioned, like the second place finish and some other good finishes, he hasn't won in forever. And we're talking about a no-cut event where you need to win. And I'm not saying he can't. Like, he's got the form to play well here. He has played well here in the past. When you look at you know, tournament history here with Morikawa, he finished 14th here last year. It's the only time he's played here. So at that price point, it's a tough click. I'll have a couple shares in my 20 max. If I have anybody up here, it'll be Scotty. I love Scotty. You can fit $12,000 real easily, or 11-9 real easily in a no-cut event. That's not the issue. I'm not worried about the injury, like you said. So Scotty's the guy for me. I'm just not on Rory. I could be totally wrong. He's never really played well here between the U.S. Open and the event last year. He finished 66th here last year. For some reason, he just, I don't know, doesn't feel like he wants to be here. He just has to be here type thing. So I'm out on Rory. Could be totally wrong. So time will tell. Plus, I like this range a boatload more. 9K range, you got Ludwig at 99, JT at 98, Hideki 96, Cantlay 94, Burns 92, Fleetwood at 91, and Sungjae at 9,000. How do you get this area split up?
Yeah, Ludwig's interesting because he starts last week 63. Then I think that was on the south course.
Yep, on the south.
And then 75, 74, 79.
Yeah.
Did he start on the north course?
I think he started on the north. Now I'm thinking about it. Yes. But still, yeah. North he got course. Sick. He had the flu. Midway through, I think it was either Thursday or Friday's round. I think it was Friday's round. They showed him he was isolating from all the groups. He was constantly drinking fluids and eating bananas. He was not, because there was a flu going around there, apparently.
Gotcha. I like Ludwig. I'm pissed that I didn't play him last week, and I'm glad now. But yeah, initially, like, it was between him and Hideki, and I ended up picking Hideki over Ludwig. And I mean, you know, it wouldn't have mattered in the grand scheme of things. But after that start, you know, I was pissed off. But either way, I think I love Ludwig this week. Justin Thomas at 98 finished sixth here last year. Come off a second place finish his last time out at the American Express. Hideki, at all these places that, you know, it's kind of a wedge fest, is very playable because his putter can just go at any time. So I do like kind of betting Hideki to win it more than playing him. But and then Sam Burns, 9,200, 10th and 39th in his two starts here. He's been playing really solid golf, 29th, 8th, 13th, 2nd, 5th, going all the way back to August. But more recently, 29th and the 8th place finish there. So that's kind of where I'm focusing, with Ludwig being my clear number one in this range.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't have the squirts, we're good, because 900 bucks a guy that can pipe it down the middle of the fairway. Like, watching that north course round, it was ridiculous just watching how easy he made things look. So I like that. JT at 98 coming in great form right now. He finished second at the Amex, 26th of the Century. He finished sixth here last year. If it's an approach game, that fits JT very well. JT will be popular, though. Yeah, I got him coming in about 22% right now. He's more popular than Morikawa, according to Fantasy National. But I do like JT, and I like Hideki again. If we're talking approach game, Hideki's 21st on my model. Another guy that, 32nd last week, but 16th of the Sony, won the Century, of course. Finished 71st here last year, though, so it could be a rough go of it. Cantlay's got great history here. I just can never Cantlay. If he wins, I just lose that week. That's fine. I just don't trust him at all. I like Burns at 92. I'm with you. I was riding him at the Amex. That was a roller coaster. Finished 29th, 8th at the Century. He's played here at least last year. Yeah, 10th last year, 39th in 2021. So I like Burns, who's coming in better form. Can't go wrong in this range. Sungjae's approach game is like on point, nearly won the Farmers. So, yeah, this is why, as much as I like Scotty, and like I said, I have a 20 max, so I'll have a little Scotty. I'm going to be doubling and tripling some of this 9K range like I did at the Farmers and have some fun here. So, Ludwig, JT, Hideki, Burns, M, I like them all. I'll pick my top one when we recap this area. 8K range, you got Jason Day at 89, Victor Hovland at 88, Connors 87, Wyndham Clark 86, Bradley 85, Willie Z 84 if he comes back. Taylor Pendrith, 83. Finau, 82. They just had another baby, I believe, Tuesday morning. Straka, 8,000. McNealy, 81. Shane Lowry, 8,000. Who do you like in this range?
Start with Jason Day at 8,900. The course history is pretty incredible. 6th, 24th, 7th, 4th, 21st, 4th, 2nd. Going back to 2018. Does include the 21st there at the U.S. Open in 2019. And then he's, you know, come off a 32nd place finish last week, but was third at the American Express. So I do like Jason Day, even though the way he dresses is not what I would wear. But
Ball Bond came out and said,
I saw that.
He picked out his own outfits last week. That's I never would have thought he had that in him. Must be the Aussie.
It's I saw somebody say that too. It's like genius marketing because it gets a lot of clicks and talking about. So
I'll be honest, the sweatpant look, I respect it. I respect it. I know it's not your normal country club attire, but you know, we're letting hoodies in. If you can go sweatpants, as long as they kind of agree to take it off when it gets warm enough, and I don't hate that one.
Yeah, good workout. Keegan at 8,500, 11th miscut, 15th, and his three starts here, which 11th was last year. So coming off a 15th place finish last week, played the Sony and finished sixth. So two straight top 15s, three straight if you go back to the century, has not finished outside the top 15 this year on tour. Pendrith, 8,300, 7th here in 2023, 49th the year before that, 7th last week. And 45th and 13th in his other two starts this year. So coming in pretty good form as well. And then Straka's got a win this year. He's finished inside the top 30 the last two starts here, 24 in 2024 and 2019. And then coming off the dub at the American Express. So obviously hitting it very well. And you have to putt it well if you're going to shoot 1,000 under par like you did at the American Express. Obviously different greens here. These are POA. I think, I'm not sure what they were down at the American Express, but either way, he's got to be feeling good as well. So SEP at 8,000, I definitely think is playable.
Yeah. Jason Day at 89. I'm all aboard that train. He will be extremely popular as well, but that course history and his current form is hard to deny. As you mentioned, Wyndham Clark at 86, he's always a tricky one for me, but, we're looking at, you know, miscut at the Amex, 15th of the century. So not like warming feelings, but first year last year, a 65th and an 18th. I could see that being worth a look if you want it, because especially looking ownership wise, he's less than 10%. He's one of the lower ones in this range, as most are going to Day and then a couple others we'll talk about here shortly. So don't mind Windy C. I love Keegan. I keep playing Keegan. He grinded his butt off at the Farmers to finish where he finished. He'd be like 3 or 4 under, then he was like 2 over. Like, he just kept battling. He wants those Ryder Cup points. So I don't mind him at all. Even if the conditions get a little rough, he's mentally stronger than a lot of these guys in this field right now. He's been tested, as they say. Pendrith, I love at 83. If the weather stays okay, he can just, he's kind of a Ludwig light where he can just bomb it down the middle of the fairway and get the wedge game going. So I like Pendrith at 83. He's going to be popular as well, it looks like. Love McNeely at 81. Local course for him. He's done very, very well at Pebble Beach. He finished 39th last year, withdraw 33rd, 2nd, 5th. So good history here. And coming in decent form for Mav, 52nd last week, with a 45th, 8th, 1st, 17th. So we're seeing some good golf from Mav. And keep an eye on the weather. Like, I'm not locking in Shane Lowry right now. I didn't like how he looked at the Farmers, but if it does look like we're going to get a stormy weekend, don't mind sprinkling a little Shane in the mix on that one. All right, 7K range. It starts out with Spieth and Henley and goes all, I'm just going to group them all together here, Jesse. It goes down to Cam Davis and Min Woo at 7,000. So what do you like in this range?
Oh, so we're going all 7K. I got you.
Yeah, because it's a little smaller than usual.
Yeah, it's 80 man field. I got you. Grazerman at 7,800. He's never played here, but we talk about him. We've been talking about him for a month, just playing really, really good golf right now. Adam Scott at 7,600. He's played here enough. 20th his last time out, which was last year. 7th in 2019, which was the U.S. Open. Coming off a 15th place finish and his only start this year in Hawaii in the first event at the Century. So finished 15th there. Adam Scott always in the mix for me because his ball striking is always going to be there, and it's just a matter of whether or not he can get the broom going. Højgaard, I think, is interesting, very, very interesting. He's not been playing much, at least that I've got of late, but his finish on the Euro Tour or the DP World Tour, whatever you want to call it, 2nd and 4th in his last two starts, and then 13th if you go back to the last three starts. So he's a guy who I think is very interesting in this range and will go overlooked with some of these names around him. Hoag at 7,300, obviously past champion, 2022, followed up with a 48th place finish in 23 and 6th here last year, and has been playing. He's got three events under the belt this year so far, 29th, 45th, and 8th. And then Nick Taylor, past champion, $7,200. he's not missed a cut here since 2019, which does include that U.S. Open. So two cuts that year that he made, but his best finish since the win is 14th in 2022, and obviously has a win this year, this calendar year, and finished 12th last week at the American Express. So dude is really, really solid right now. JJ Spahn, who I never get right, but I'm just going to click his name anyways because the model does like him. Yep. 54th and 16th in his last two starts at this event. Had four consecutive missed cuts before that, but it's coming off a 15th place finish last week at the Farmers, 29th American Express, 3rd Sony Open. So three straight top 30s for him. Pretty solid at $7,200. Obviously different field this week, but still he's playing pretty well.
Yeah, for me, again, as kind of a cop-out, but if the weather looks like it gets better this weekend, I like Russell Henley quite a bit. If it's an approach game, 10th at the Sony Open, 30th of the Century, finished 58th here last year in his debut, went 70-96th in my model. A lot of that is because of, you know, he's third in good drives and the approach game's pretty on point. So I like some Henley there. Bobby Mack at 77, it's his first time here. He's been playing some pretty good golf in the fall swing, so don't mind him as a very low-owned play at $7,700. Bo Hostler at 76. This one was surprising because, A, he can play great in the wind if it gets there, but still, last year, 14th, 11th, 3rd, 47th, 38th. Those are his last five trips to Pebble, so he's played very well here, even in the elevated event last year, finishing 14th, and he's got a 15th at the Farmers and a 12th at the Amex. So Bo Hostler's coming in really good form. Looking at the current ownership projections, looking closer to 14. So that's a bummer, but do like some Bo. I like Adam Scott just because, dude, he can grind out. If it's easy, it's great. If it's a grind, he can get her done. So I'm with you on Adam Scott at 7,600. Dietrich played phenomenal here last year. Had some moments at the Amex at 74. If you want a lower owned play, I like Hoagie for his history here. I'm gonna keep right in the Harry Hall at $7,300. When we look at Hall here, he's coming in. He has not played here, I believe. Where the heck did his name? Oh, yeah. He finished 21st at the Amex, 10th at the Sony, 8th at the Century. So we know he's playing great. Took off that grind at the Farmers, which is probably a smart move, all things said and done. Played here in 2023 and finished 34th. So he has played this tournament before, which I like with one Harry Hall. I'm with you, Nick Taylor, and then same theory on Spahn. I clicked him a couple times last week just to get there. And the last thing I'll say is if it does come down to putting this week, Denny McCarthy at 7,000 will be worth a look for sure. All right, 6K range. You have a lot of options in a field like this, Jesse. Who are some guys you're looking at?
Yep, Eric Cole at 6,800. Back-to-back top 15s at this event, 14th and 15th the last 2 years. It's coming off a 68th place finish in back-to-back events, so not great form coming in, but the course history is there. He did finish 5th at the Sony Open, so definitely think he is playable. Sam Stevens, 34th here in 23, which was his only start, 2nd place last week. Hubbard at 6,700, 4 straight made cuts for him, and he just keeps getting better and better every year. So starting in 21, 56th, the next year 33rd, 20th in 23, and then 4th last year at this event. So if you like to just look at that, I mean, he's probably due for a win at this event, but I mean, it's obviously a long shot. Hasn't missed a cut this year, 3 out of 3. Best finish was 12th at the American Express. And then I like Gary Woodland quite a bit. I know he withdrew a couple weeks ago, or at least maybe it's the past week. Yeah. Do you know why?
I have not heard anything, honestly, and I know we texted about that right when it happened. I haven't heard anything.
All right.
Could have been the clue.
He hasn't played this course since the U.S. Open in 2019. He won it there. He did not have a good track record before that, which makes the win even more ridiculous, but miscut, 5th, miscut, 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 all before that. He hasn't played it since 2019, but coming off a 16th place finish, his last start, which was the Sony Open. And for $6,500, I definitely think he has a chance to get, you know, inside the top 10 there.
Yeah, I don't hate that at that price point for sure. I got Keith Mitchell at 69. Sometimes I wonder why, but it's like 21st at the Amex, 30th at the Sony. The Cardigan goes great at Pebble, by the way. 54th last year, 4th the year before, 12th the year before that. So he's played well here. So I don't mind that at $6,900. Eric Cole I like as well. Hubbard I love. Just when he's hot, you roll it. Eventually it implodes. But right now he's playing great. Got Ben Griffin down here. Seabez at 64. He stood out to me more so on his history here. 20th last year in the elevated event, 14th in 2022. So he's got two top 20s at Pebble, which is nice. Coming off a miscut at the Amex, a 40th of the century. So the form, who knows? But again, no cut, so who cares? Couple others, like you can make a case for a lot of these guys. Rosie at 63 is ridiculous. That's a phenomenal price point for a guy that actually has one here and can compete with most of these guys still. Might not be elite level, but could compete with like $8,000 guys for sure. Lee Hodges at 62, he's fifth in my model. I had a lot of Lee Hodges last week. He played very well at times, very bad, but so did that course. We look at Lee Hodges coming in at 62. He finished ninth last week, 34th, 10th at the Sony, 5th at the RSM. He's playing phenomenal golf right now for a $6,200 golfer. Finished 58th here last year in the elevated event. So hopefully coming in better form this time around, you can go that direction. And if you want to go full YOLO, Adam Hadwin, $6,000. He rates 76th out of 80th in this field. So I will preface that. He miscut the Amex, but then 59th, 29th of the century, 53rd. So not great, but shorter course, finished 39th there last year, 16th in 2022. So I think that kind of the shorter course aspect plays into Hadwin a little bit there. Bare minimum 6,000. I'd still prefer Lee Hodges at 62, but if you need a full punt, Hadwin's there. All right, let's recap things now that I spewed off half the list. 10K and above, who's your choice?
Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, I'm with you on Scotty. I can't play that game. 9K range now, it gets fun.
Yeah, I'm going to say Ludwig, man. I mean, I'm just a big believer right now.
Stick to your guns. Stick to your guns. I didn't even mention Tommy. Tommy's third in my model. Good Lord. But I will go with I'll go to JT's chalky. I'll go JT. Go JT. 8K range.
Keegan.
Keegan is a beast. I will go with Mav McNeely at 81. 7K range, go ahead and go 2.
I'm going to say Højgaard and Nick Taylor.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to go with Hostler and Tom Hoagie. 6K range.
Woodland.
That's pretty good. I'm going to go with Hodges. Take the punt to go all the way down to 62 and see what happens.
It does. I mean, that opens up quite a bit. I just was making a lineup here, and I like your take on him. So
yeah, just ride that form while you can with these guys on a no-cut event, see what happens.
Yep.
And the fact he dealt with the win last week and still managed a ninth and tells me at least he can hang if it has to type situation. Right. All right, we don't condone cash on these events because you will literally pull whatever hair you have left out of your head. Trying to figure this one out. Tournaments, though, where are you starting?
I've got Scotty, Ludwig, and Woodland.
Yeah, that's good. I would go, I'll go something different. I don't mind that at all, obviously, but I'll go with JT, Burns, and Sungjae. So go 3 9K guys, and easily, if you want to throw Hodges in there, you could easily make that work. All right. Picks to win. Scotty, first event back is 4-1.
Yeah, it's out. It's just outrageous, man. Like, yeah. The only way to like bet that is to parlay it with something else. Yeah, like
find a college game or something.
Yeah, you can parlay it with, you know, some kind of favorite. Let me just pick one this evening. Texas A&M. So if we go Texas A&M money line and Scotty, I mean, that only gets you to 5.2-1. I mean, it's
that's insane. Parlay it with the Super Bowl winner or parlay it with waste management picks next week or something.
Yeah, it's annoying, but I mean, it's hard to see him not winning. I do have two bets, which are I've already bet them. It's 22-1 Hideki and 50-1 Keegan.
I like those, I really do. I think this is more wide open than we think. Like, you know, Scotty, I think, brainwashed us forever. And if he came out and dominated, no one would be surprised. But
right,
I think there's going to be a little limping back into form. We'll see. You never know with him. He's a freak. So I think you can take some shots in this field. And I don't mind those at all. 20-1 plays. I'm going to go plus 200 or better since it is a smaller field. Take full advantage of that. Tom Hoagie's plus 210. Obviously, a guy that's won here before, so I'll take my chances there. I mentioned Keith Mitchell, his recent form here. He's been very good. He's plus 250 if you want to get in there. And then Lee Hodges is plus 300. I'm going to keep riding that train. And your boy Gary Woodland's plus 300 as well if you want to go there. So a couple fun top 20s if you want to dabble for the weekend, no cut event. Part of me wants to see the weather be a little difficult over the weekend. Part of me wants the guys just to make it a birdie fest and see what happens. I'm kind of torn on the
subject. Yeah, I know what you mean.
All right, final thoughts before we wrap it up.
I don't have much other than just keep an eye on the weather. There could be
there's a lot of changes in the last
draw like, bias there alone. Potentially Thursday, Friday. And otherwise, good luck.
Basically, if it's going to get bad on Friday, you want Pebble on Thursday. So I'm going to tell you right now, take the bad weather in Spyglass.
Yeah, for sure.
Take that for sure. But yeah, good luck next week. Waste Management Open, baby. Yeah, let's do this thing.
Now it feels like the golf season's really starting once we get to Waste, man.
We go to Waste. We go back to Torrey for the Genesis. It would have been Riviera, which would have really felt like we're starting to grind. But
right.
It's only 1 year, and obviously for the reasons that we're out of control. Right. Yep. And then we'll be back in the heart of it after that. So
not too long till we get to the Masters.
Right? Yeah, because it's we'll be like 6 weeks now, 7 weeks.
Probably closer to eight.
Eight, okay.
Nine. Fine. It's so in April, so
whatever. Oh, I thought it was March still. My bad. I thought it was end of March.
Okay. You're probably looking at, so. I don't know what weekend it is. It's probably the 10th. It probably starts on the 10th.
Got so, my hope so.
Yeah, we probably got like about 9 weeks.
All right. Well, we'll keep cracking at it as always. But until next time, make sure you follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Intrick. This is your 2025 AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am preview. Catch you on. The show goes on all night till the morning we dream.